Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to a difficult episode of Fireteam Chat. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
And James Duck.
Chomp chomp.
And the reason it's difficult is we're going to be going over Curse of Osiris and a lot of our concerns and disappointments with it today. We're going to start and we're going to try to start on a positive note and talk about some of the things that we liked, but there are some major concerns with this content. And I think we're all in agreement that there's some pretty major flaws and problems, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So let's bring it up a little bit. Let's talk about some of the things that they liked. I'll start with one of the things that I actually enjoyed. Doug, and you and I last night, we got to play the adventures. We got to play the heroic version of them. And it was kind of nice to see that they were randomized. They were – I don't want to quite compare them to strikes, but they've definitely improved the adventure system a little bit here. And I was very happy to see that.
Because
that is an ask we had from Vanilla.
There's a very surface level amount of procedural generation happening. And it's not even procedural. It's handcrafted stuff that is being – piece by piece selected, which I think is a good thing, but we'll get into why it's a flawed system and a really good example of what they could have done as opposed to what they actually did do. And at the end of the day, when you're getting to the end, I know we're trying to keep it positive. Oh man, here we go already.
And this is in your opinion. I actually liked it. I like that there were a few different permutations. Not many. There's three, so a total of six.
Well, there's three, and then you can either get that in the past or the future. So that's a total of six permutations that you work your way towards at the very end of that adventure. But the heroic versions are challenging, which is something I was not expecting. So I was also happy with that.
Okay. And we still haven't played Raid Layers. It's going to be releasing on Friday. So we'll be playing Raid Layers in the morning. We're recording on Thursday because a lot of us are at PSX. We're up for the game show.
Yeah.
But you can actually check out CJ, youtube.com/fireteamchat. We're pretty hopeful about these. Hopefully they run really well.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's the big takeaway from this is that,
this one.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel a little bit disappointing. And as a guy who played through the campaign with you on stream, I mean, I think the overwhelming sensation every time I came to a moment that looked beautiful again, because that's never the issue. Skyboxes are amazing.
The game, the locations look stunning. They do. Visually impressive.
They're unreal to the point of which that's the issue. You wait for this thing when you see these massive open worlds and you're like, oh man, I can't wait for this final boss that I, nuked with Merciless in 3 seconds. And, it was a little bit disappointing.
So your positive point, trying to keep it positive for the intro at least, but there are people out there that enjoy it. There's people here that's kind of like Josh Mobley really like it. Most of us did not. But
it's not that I didn't like it. I will say I was just underwhelmed by it. The boss, the final boss mechanic, without going into too much detail because I don't want to give away a lot of spoilers, I thought the mechanic was really cool and kind of neat, but
then Duggan shot it once with a bullet.
So that
no,
was
it's not great.
Well, so that's the thing, and then it's like, so some people shot it with a rocket. We were doing tons of damage. I was like, is this a DPS phase? And no, it's not. You just shoot them once.
It's actually something that not just Bungie has difficulty with. Even some very good mechanical boss designers at places like Blizzard, they have difficulty adapting that for the casual player. When you play through the campaign the first time and you get to a boss and they're like, okay, let me try introducing one or two mechanics. A lot of the times I may not hit, and it took a very long time for like the lower end content to be interesting or engaging or even give like an inkling of what it evolves to by the time you get to raids and the absolute brilliance going into that design, which I think is, we can all agree, is good in Destiny.
100%. And that's the challenge. Once you've played the raids and you go to, I think, largely which we'd say that campaign should be almost done as a single player experience. Like when we did it with me, you, and Illegal Knot, like I actually found that everything was just way too easy and I was waiting
which
for
account?
That challenge.
Like any of them,
like anything in the campaign, it was just like, there's a new light level and yet my guardian is set to melt.
Yeah.
And there's no progression there. It was really odd.
Yeah, you don't progress at all through the normal story. And like in the past, they've allowed you to crank up the difficulty. I remember House of Wolves playing through with Jose. We just bumped it up to the hard one because we were at max light. That option's absent, strangely.
Yes.
So, Sean, do you have anything positive to say? I think we're just going
to
go right
into it. Gosh, it's so hard to, like, actually scour my brain to think of it. No, I think you probably already touched on it, which is, like, I found the, like, the design of the Infinite Forest and the sort of, like, the towers and sort of the places that you're exploring and
it,
engaging
it does
with.
Look very pretty.
Yeah, that's all really, really cool. And it makes you want to kind of explore these worlds and take your time with them.
Yep.
But everything's so easy that I found myself doing what you did during the stream, which is, like, I just skip past all the red bars and skirt by them and
which,
then get to the end.
To be fair, is a lot harder to do in Heroic. You get presented with more
You actually have to engage in those encounters often, which is a good thing.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, overall, like, I'm kind of with CJ. Is like, I'm underwhelmed, man, and it's kind of a bummer because I feel like, I don't know, it's one thing when your expectations are low and then something doesn't meet the expectations because you're not that bummed out, right? But I expect a lot from Bungie. I want the game to be good, and I'm a huge Destiny fan, so I hope that it's good. And then when it's not, I get really sort of
it's a letdown.
I'm very let down.
You want to like it, and it comes out, and it's just not good.
Yeah,
you know, I still believe that Core Destiny has a lot of stuff going for it. Fantastic sound design.
Yes,
you know, it had a cohesive story. I won't say it's the best story ever, but it's definitely a step up from the original. You know, the progression system was pretty fun as you were climbing that. But those of us at the end game are upset because Curse of Osiris is not that good.
This is my first DLC experience with Destiny as a whole. I think is important to remember. And there are a lot of fundamental RPG questions that are being exposed and brought up by this. Like, why are levels even a thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, why do I have light levels when I was at 305 and now I stand to get to 335, which is great. And I understand how, even though everything that I interact with is going to scale to the level I'm at, so it'll never really feel like I'm overpowered, I do understand that some content necessitates that I be a certain level, which is cool. But then you have these other levels, 20 to 25.
Yeah.
And that really boggled my mind as to why that was
even
in the game.
It's like I hit 25 and I'm just like, okay, why does that matter?
Why did hitting 21 matter?
So you can
get
those illuminated engrams.
Like, there's
some of that.
So getting through the levels are important because that is blocking story missions, so they want you to go explore. It's an incentive to explore, makes sense.
Yep.
For the DLC, getting from 20 to 25 serves no mechanical purpose.
Yep.
Except you don't get any kind of skill points. You don't get any kind of stats.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
There's 100 new items.
And they're all in the Eververse. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And that's stuff that, you know, we talk about a lack of incentives. And I remember when I initially brought it up on the show, I got a little bit of pushback, like, oh, you want, like, ghosts from X, Y, and Z? It's like, yeah. You know, when I play
I totally do.
X content in this game, I'm looking for a mount. I'm looking for... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or, like, how many times in Taken King did you guys do the raid so you could get that raid ship?
Exactly. Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That ship Ooh, is purely cosmetic.
Rat. Gotcha. Yeah.
That ship is purely cosmetic. It doesn't impact gameplay at all, but it's proof of something that you achieved in the game.
And... To that point, we need to really see, like, if we are being charged conventionally $60 for the initial release, $20 per DLC, $40 for the larger ones, really, it needs to be explained to me in the game's design and the amount of content it has why a supplemental microtransaction system is what needs to be there. It shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
It does not belong in a game like Destiny 2 where I'm paying $60 and then I'm paying incrementally for the DLC. If there was a free-to-play option, okay, fine. But... like microtransaction systems, a lot of the times are, hey, it's the lesser of two evils. It's not in this instance. It's just an added on thing to nickel and dime you. But more importantly, it's preventing incentives from infiltrating other areas of the game.
Yeah.
And ultimately, those rewards, it's okay that like a ship or a sparrow is only from bright engrams. I'm fine with that. But all ships and all sparrows
and an armor set.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's too much. You're taking an entire category of loot away from me so you can make more on microtransactions.
Yeah.
So like read the room, you know?
Real quick though, but even thinking about Destiny 1, I mean, that was, I think, some of the other issues is the Eververse was not a thing persistent in the original
Destiny. It was removed from the
game.
It was removed from the game and then added as somebody to sell you stuff. And I really had a problem with that.
Yeah.
Talking, you can reference past episodes.
Yeah.
The other thing that I have a problem with and the way they handled it was what happened with Prestige Raids and what happened with Prestige Nightfall. The fact that
Being locked
out by the Curse of Osiris content, that's simply not an acceptable
criticism. Yeah, it's not acceptable.
How is it difficult? Explain to me. just add that middle option so that those people who bought the base copy of Destiny 2 can still get the 305 or, yeah,
sure.
3.5.
I think it may be a thing about giving people too many choices and it might be confusing XYZ, but ultimately, like, no, that's what you set yourself up for.
But it's just not, content, like,
this isn't okay.
Or
they literally
just
can't
scale
get all,
it.
They literally can't get all the achievements in the game.
Sure.
They're locked
but,
out of them.
Right. Like,
unless
also,
they buy stuff.
Like,
no,
think about
okay.
any time, it's like a rule of the internet that, like, fans are, will be angry when you're charging something, when you're charging them for something that they previously got for free.
Or when you take it away.
Yeah.
Well,
like, they had already played the raids. They'd already been doing
stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sean.
Yeah, but they had already been doing prestige raids in, before the DLC came out. And then now that the DLC's out and you have a choice whether or not you want to buy it, determine whether or not it's valuable to you. But part of the value is that they took away something from you that you already paid for.
And I'm sorry,
terrible way.
Too experienced of a developer to making these kinds of mistakes at the frequency and severity that they are making. We'll talk about Prometheus Lens in a minute, but the
yeah, that's a bug.
The flaws, but, yeah. And it's so, riddled with bugs. Hey, the one public event in the one new zone that is the size of Tross Land in the EDZ that is the new explorable area, the one public event I ran last night, and every single time I went through Man Cannon, it shot me into a wall and
that's
died.
Right. Yep.
So like, so hey, test your content. This is the, I think what ultimately we are seeing, and this is, I feel, probably what happened with Destiny 2 Vanilla, is there is this insane AAA production schedule that needs to be adhered to.
Yes.
And part of that is this game has to look fantastic. It's got to feel great. All the stuff that we expect from a Bungie game. And that's a really hard bar to hit. So then when you think about bugs, the player experience, disabling a dance so you can't glitch into a wall, balancing weapons, playing a single game of Crucible, Prometheus
character
Lens,
development,
yeah. Progression, anything, yeah. Microtransactions, there's no time for that. And this is a symptom not just of Destiny 2, but of the larger, I'm doing a top 10 list about the best post-launch supports. And there's two kinds of AAA games.
Halo
there
on
are
there?
Ones that want to be. Actually, it's not. Maybe it should be. There's a type that comes out and wants to be this game that's going to live forever, like League of Legends, but they just can't do it because they don't understand what that is. And then there are the Rainbow Six Sieges of the world that are able to accomplish that and overcome that and understand we have to take our time. We have to listen to people. We have to think before we act. And that's not what we're seeing with Destiny 2.
I think they do think before they act, but they did confirm in a roundtable interview that this definitely felt rushed to me. They did full scale production when they launched Destiny 2. So the fact that they had that short of a window to make this content, it really, really shows in the final product. CJ, I haven't heard much from you.
No.
What are your main issues with it?
I mean, I got some notes on my phone. I think the biggest thing is that, yeah, it's just, I was hoping for more and better, and I think that's the thing. Like, I'm a guy who, you know, I don't talk like a lot of hate. I'm not going to be that guy who, like, I'm usually a half glass full kind of guy, but I sympathize with a lot of people who feel like you've been playing this game for 2 or 3 years, you wanted something more, and there's just not the more that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And, like, you're talking about the public space and the size of it.
Yeah.
I was really excited to explore this space. But I had known that it was the little interior thing. And when they did their stream, they made it look like Infinite Forest was part of it. It sort of is if you activate the adventures, but
right.
No.
But only
it's literally,
when you do
it's literally
adventure.
Just the Trossland space. It is right. One space. It is one new public
and
event.
Ghost?
And it is one lost sector. No, like, come on.
And your ghost even says it like, wow, this place is huge. When we're not, like, when the world isn't ending, can we come back?
Yeah.
No, you cannot go back.
Yeah. Literally, the next DLC, we have no reason to go there unless they're somehow tied together.
Right.
It's just like
the public event, like, was really cool. Like, I don't want to understate it. Like, once I did it and activated the heroic version of it, I was like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. And
but, after you died 14 times on the main camp.
But that's right. Yeah. And you had to, like, jump back. But even then, you're like, okay. And again, I got two blues in it in
like,
a token.
Yeah,
that's another.
I mean, comment. We talk a lot of the things we've been bringing up are endemic issues to Destiny 2 and not just the expansion, but I think that's part of my criticism about the expansion is that I tweeted about it earlier, but it's so painfully pedestrian.
Yeah.
Like when Bungie comes out with a game or when Bungie does something, you expect it to be awesome because they're Bungie. Like there's nothing awesome about this. Like Osiris isn't awesome. The story does not do him justice. What you do in the campaign, someone please tell me what I did in the campaign because I don't remember. Like, I know that there's this cutscene at the beginning.
Simulation, bro.
Yeah. There's a cutscene at the beginning where Osiris looks into the Infinite Forest and he sees some crazy, scary thing and then disappears in there. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to get to unravel what he saw and be like this part of undoing it. And all I know is that I jumped in there and killed some big sort of machine dude, and that's that.
And you also killed some Fallen. You also killed some Cabal. You also...
Like, it's just, it's just this huge missed opportunity. Like, it sucks to sit here on the other side of, you know, of the game as not a developer and say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do X, Y, Z? Cause all of those things seem cooler to me. Like, I don't think that that's a position that anyone should be in.
They even tease you with Vault of Glass in the beginning cutscene. They play that familiar music.
I thought we were going back there.
Yeah.
I really did.
I remember at the beginning of the stream, I'm like, yeah.
I know. I said it to you a couple times. I was like, I was thinking like, okay, we're going to all of a sudden like teleport and just be in the Templar opening for a second. Mm-hmm. Even if it was just going to be for like 2 minutes. And again, I don't want to like say, okay, I wish they'd have rehashed old content. Not that. This would have justified some of those moments. Mm-hmm.
About like how cool it would have been if something that Osiris saw in that simulation had to do with Vault of Glass.
Destiny 1.
Down there for like 0.5 seconds.
Yes.
Instead, you kind of go in there, you do your thing. It's not all that interesting. Osiris shows up, and despite all of the lore and all the storytelling about him being like this renegade guardian,
he like messed up the tower. There were a whole renegade faction that
like
went
the Zavala before Zavala, this like kind of this renegade maverick dude. And then he shows up and he's like, "You're a great guardian. See you later." And like he shows up for 0.5 seconds at the very end.
It was like a Full House episode where all of a sudden, like, you know, I was waiting for the music to cue. All right, guys.
Yeah,
take
and like
care, don't do that.
Ikora Rez, like, you know, I knew him, I knew his ghost. Like all the guardians, they won't even speak his name. And I was like, oh man, there's some going down here. Like something went down between all these people. And like,
could you not swear?
Sorry. I mean, that's more
job harder.
But just like, I don't know. It does all this. It's something that I hate about games. It's posturing, right? Yeah. Like it pretends to do something. It sets the stage like it's going to do something and then it doesn't. And that
also
is the worst.
The epitome of convoluted.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
But I don't even,
it's rough, dude.
In terms of missed opportunity, I think the biggest thing here from a design and mechanical standpoint, something that could potentially alleviate a lot of what we're feeling overall is the Infinite Forest. And that was the biggest disappointment for me to see how.
What a misnomer.
Barely.
Right?
Yeah.
They went into that. They barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Number one, the Infinite Forest is not the adventure that you get yourself to that is the six permutations of three missions, which aren't bad missions. That's not the problem here. The problem is when I heard Infinite Forest, I think Greater Rift, I think roguelike.
Yeah.
I think there's so much they could do. And let me just talk you through a little bit of what I think they could have done on a very surface level to make it an interesting experience. Not even talking about incentives, not talking about progression. We've beaten that horse to death. Let's talk about the mechanical design of the Infinite Forest. Right now, you get a platform, you get an enemy on the platform, you either run past the platform if the gate is white, or you kill one of the orange ammo bearing guys.
One to three.
Yeah. And then you continue on to the next platform and you do that six or seven times and then you get to your mission. So right now it's actually just a barrier more than anything else. And it's,
it
not
adds artificial longevity is what it is.
Yeah. Which is not in and of itself a bad thing. Like look at Greater Rifts in Diablo. And I don't even think Greater Rifts are a great example of procedural generation. So imagine if there was, a combat tile, and when a combat tile spawns, you can get a difficulty from 1 to 10. And based upon that difficulty, you get different other branching permutations. So if you beat a 10 combat tile difficulty on the first tile, maybe the next one spawns a mini boss that could then spawn a puzzle room.
And
or
then
there
you
could
unlock
be a trap room.
A cool weapon.
Yeah,
you
right.
Beat all
right.
Of them.
And that would give you incentive to go back in to be like, man, I just cannot get into the labyrinth part, which there is kind of a little labyrinth thing in one of the missions, but that's neither here nor there. But there could have been trap rooms. There could have been puzzle tiles. There could have been mini bosses. There could have been challenge tiles where it's like
platforming tiles.
Hit this
jump
button
puzzles.
When you're ready to do the next tile. Okay, you have 30 seconds to run around and melee all four of these scions. Go. And the platforms are going nuts. I understand that's a lot more development cost, but this is what I'm looking for in terms of Destiny 2. My biggest problem with Destiny 2 right now, it's not innovating. It is working in a deficit to try and scramble to get to people where think the game should be, not just in terms of its first DLC, but its initial launch state. All the stuff that we've had, that you guys had in Destiny 1 is not there in Destiny 2, and now we're working
a lot of the armor and weapons are.
To try and
just do something interesting, man. Like, I hate to keep bringing it up, but like, in vanilla World of Warcraft, you spent all this time on the ground, running around on your horse and when you're mounted or on your feet. And then all of a sudden when Burning Crusade comes out, the very first mission, you jump into a siege tank for the first time ever and you're shooting like dragons out of the sky and stuff. And you're like flying around and like bombing stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is something I've never seen or done before in this game before. And they did that every expansion. For how long has the game been out now? Since 2004.
13 years.
Yeah.
13 years they've been doing this. Like, we're within 2 months of Destiny 2, and already everyone's like, bored.
Done
like,
that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem is, like, you can't, I mean, you can, they did, call something the Infinite Forest and then have it not be infinite. Yeah, or not even be, like, varied at all.
There is one interesting thing, though.
In my review impressions, okay, go ahead first.
It's Prometheus Lens. That is the one.
Talk about that. That's a PvP conversation.
Yeah, that is one thing we haven't
that's
seen.
That's a design conversation.
We'll talk about that.
A weapon people want because it's powerful.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, yeah, but imagine because it's broken, though.
So it is broken. Let's talk about Prometheus Lens a little bit. So yeah, it's broken. It doesn't really work in PvP.
No, it works amazing in PvP. That is the exact
not as intended.
Too well.
Doesn't matter.
You had it.
Yes.
A desirable weapon death. 100%. For the wrong reasons, but maybe that tells them something about what they're doing wrong.
Yep.
Because nothing else is exciting.
You tweeted that out, and I remember thinking to myself, like, isn't that amazing? Like, that's almost the time to kill that I expect from a weapon like that. The problem is, nothing can rival it. And that's, I think, the issue. But, it's obviously bugged right now.
It's crazy because, like, other than that, which is, obviously broken, bugged, right? What other exotics have been desirable, right? It's just Mida Multitool, which, guess what? That was a D1 weapon.
I like Wirklyf Coil a lot for PvE.
I'm talking about for PvP.
Merciless.
Yeah.
Do some really cool stuff in the PvE space with making you feel like you have a power fantasy when you have power ammo. But to CJ's point, like I think the PvP suffers the consequences of all of the interesting weapons that aren't just shooting a single projectile at varying fire rates.
Yeah.
So shotguns, snipers, all of the stuff that is interesting and that lends a lot of versatility to a game like Call of Duty is now relegated to the power ammo slot, which you...
Yeah. And the perk, there needs to be some kind of perk node or tree that is like custom for PvE. And a lot of them weapons last time did that, like Vault of Glass, Atheon Epilogue, take down oracles faster, do this better, receive more of a bonus damage buff if you have this. And then the exotics can serve both purposes because it's not relative.
That's something that I've said it so many times, but I really wish that they doubled down on more in-depth class mechanics and abilities because right now, I don't know, when was the last time you changed any of your builds?
Changed between Rally Barricade and Towering Barricade.
See, that I think is dumb because Rally Barricade is dumb. But like,
well, the reloading side for PvE, it's not. It's really good.
But even then, it's just like there's not enough depth. They had the opportunity when going from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2 to make the class like to add depth to a lot of their talent trees, and instead, like. No one really ever changes those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they grouped the tiles together so that you can select one sort of pathway or the other. There's no customization in those. It's just they put a lot of it on autopilot. They streamlined a lot of it. It just feels like.
And that was from the very beginning. Like, it was done intentionally.
Yeah, no, and that's what I mean is, like, at the very beginning, they could have gone one of two ways, and it unfortunately looks like they went the one way that doesn't seem to be panning out for anything, the DLC including, which is that it's all just very.
Yeah, I think Bungie needs to take a long, hard look at the state of Destiny right now. They definitely hear us loud and clear.
Yeah.
They have to be feeling bad. Like,
yep.
I do have to say thank you for all the work that you've put into Destiny.
For sure.
You need to take a long, hard look at what is out right now because I believe it needs massive reworks in just everything.
Yep.
The inventory system, the reward system is bugged. The gameplay in PvP is not fun.
It's stale.
People are asking for refunds on your DLC. Like, this isn't acceptable, and they have to be hearing the alarm bell.
And I can't imagine Activision would not understand, given the fact that they work with Blizzard, that sometimes you need to let the product sit in the oven to, like, really develop and not just get it right out there as soon as you can. This when you get a cut and an injury and there's something wrong that you have to fix and then you take a mildewy band-aid and put it on, that makes it worse. That doesn't make it better. Just the fact that there's something covering
it. Stop the bleeding just for a little bit.
Just for
maybe
1.5 hours until I beat the campaign. But like it's worse because now as the consumer, let's say I'm not reading the Destiny Reddit every single day, and I'm just playing the game.
I have it open here.
There we go.
It's pretty rough.
Let's say I'm not doing that. Let's say I'm not up to date, and I think, well, you know, okay, they'll improve. They launched in kind of a rocky state for the end game, but they'll improve. And this comes out, I'm like, ooh, they will not improve. Yeah. All right, I'm out. I'm out until the next big expansion, The Taken King. And by the way, can we talk about the fact that there are these little expansions and a large expansion, which, by the way, I had no idea there was this stratification. Like, just make a big expansion that has these big sweeping changes. Take your time on it. I would prefer that as opposed to these minuscule content drops. And if you are going to do this size of content, it should be one thing. It should be the infinite forest. It's a roguelike. Get in there. We have some rewards. We tried something crazy and we're going to see how it works. Not let's try and cover every single base poorly.
If we look back to Dark Below was story missions and a raid, a full raid, and it was fun. I remember Alfredo staying here all night trying to beat it and then working on his time until he got it down to like something crazy, like 15 minutes he could run it in.
Yeah.
That was a fun time in Destiny. There were great weapons in there, too. Yeah. There was the Black Hammer.
People were also, too, at a point, I still think that like – the honeymoon phase, you know, the same criticisms, though, of Destiny 1.
Armor set to chase.
Were
in
there,
the raid.
Though.
Sorry, CJ.
No, it's okay. The same criticisms were there. Like I don't want to think about back to that thinking is all good, because if you look at it, it wasn't.
No, but
it became good after because
it was much better than what we did.
But it improved, like, from expansion to expansion.
Well, but
that's the thing.
All I'm saying is
we seem to be going downhill here.
But that's because Destiny 1 became something in our minds. Because at the time, there was no expectation of what was to come. Now there is like a super high bar of expectation, and now it's like
is it a super
really
high bar though?
Is it? Is, well, yeah, I mean honestly, I don't know
that
it is.
That's game are going to make it into the second one.
That's the challenge right now. Is that there's a lot of people, I think, and again, we're talking from like very passionate fans. I mean, there are a few people around the office who are casually playing Destiny, and
they're loving it,
and they do like it. So I always kind of have to second guess myself and go, okay, is there other information that we don't have, where potentially there are a bunch of people who really, really enjoy this and like the fact that the game is this easy. Like, I don't like that it's this easy.
Well, it's not a question of is it easy or is it hard. It's a question of how far did it go with the content to be able to satiate a player like somebody who's a casual to a player like me. Like, it's not a question of we made it tuned for this one audience or made it tuned for this one audience. What you do is you tune it for the hardcore audience and turn the casual audience into the hardcore audience with a good progression that they can engage in at a low level or a high level or whatever they want to do.
That's the difference. It's like Diablo, World of Warcraft, they do this exponentially well. Like, there are players who barely touch Diablo but have a great time for the 30 hours that they play. And then there are players who play, like, years of that game, and they're the same player at the end of it.
But that's the criticism, I think, right now that's happening in Destiny. But that is also looking back some of the main fundamental problems that people had with Destiny 1. It was too hard. It didn't tell me this. The boss took forever to beat. Now, to me, like, I like that stuff because it's an accomplishment when you do it, which I think that's the reason why I kept Destiny alive for so long. This, nobody feels the need to do it again because it's not challenging, right?
It's so, not challenging, in any way.
Right.
So, like, it's who's it for?
That is really the question right now, I think. And it's been that question for a long time with Destiny. But, like, now we've gone from this kind of, like, middle-of-the-road, fairly difficult game. I mean, you think of a bunch of, like, you know, bosses from Destiny 1, like Fogoth and, you know, Sepix Prime, where I remember, like, I can hear the music in my head because I played those for 20. Dun, 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 dun. But you died, and you died, and you died. And if you were not the right power level, you went back with people who were, or you got to the right power level. Mm-hmm. That's
I died
missing.
Once in the campaign. You know why? My batteries ran out.
Oh.
I fell off a ledge. Like,
I know, and that's
you
crazy.
Don't,
there's no
just,
imminent threat in the campaign.
Yeah, it's not. It's just not interesting. Like,
killed myself with a word cliff. That was my one day.
That happens.
Like, I just, you know, I don't. I also understand where you're coming from with the second guessing yourself, because as we sit, all of us who sit at this table are really hardcore players, and so you got to we have to know on some level that, like, maybe the decisions that Destiny, that the Bungie team makes regarding Destiny aren't for us. Like, they're trying to make it a more casual game so that
they
can
have that state of the game saying that they want to cater towards the hobbyist more.
But that's what I mean is, like,
but
you
they
mean
say that.
They're confirming
the
that.
Yeah, the hobbyist is what they call it.
Right,
the person who's playing. Yeah.
Right, which is funny because
as a
we
lifestyle.
Had this, we had this we had this
last
miscommunication last week. Hobbyist to me means casual, but I guess they meant hardcore.
Yeah. Sorry, they did say that they tried to cater to the hobbyist, but they want to let the hardcore know that they are heard and they are developing the tools for the end
game. Now I'm getting a different thing. Hobbyist is not
tourist
hardcore.
Is the casual.
Okay, whatever.
Hobbyist hardcore.
Why change the terms? Anyway, point is, like, the game is very, very successful amongst some level of player, right? Yes. And that player level probably isn't the hardcore because everyone who's really hardcore into Destiny that I know is really unhappy with the game because they find it boring and easy and non-innovative. And they don't find the systems and progression all that interesting. So you have to sit and think like, well, if that's the strategy that they want to go with, that's their prerogative to do so, but they have to be okay with one, the hardcore audience being angry about this, or two, like, just make it a mobile game and go all in, you know?
Yeah.
Free to play, it's on your phone, and that's what Destiny is.
I still posit that you don't need to choose one or the other audience. I think if we all think about the most definitive experiences in our gaming life, it's something that everybody, regardless of where they landed on that scale, became invested in. When you think about the launch of Overwatch, all the different rungs of life and the different lifestyles that it attracted to turn them potentially into turn. Yeah, granted, some people, like myself, I started out as a very hardcore player. Then I realized I didn't enjoy playing it in a competitive capacity, and I just wanted to, like, mess around with friends and casual. So I went from being a hardcore Overwatch player to a casual one. Meanwhile, a bunch of folks out there, the syndication guys, Armando, started in a place where, like, oh, I'll check it out. And now all they do
is
play.
Yeah.
So I refuse to believe that there's
That's
a subsect
different.
Of people who are getting enjoyment out of this remarkably shallow experience.
You know what? It worked for World of Warcraft. You gave them challenging aspects. People figured it out. They built tool sets around it. That's what they were doing with Destiny 1. Destiny 1 still had a pretty active player base at the end of its life cycle
100%.
When content had knocked them up for months because PvP was good. What they decided to do? Dramatically change how stuff drops in the game. Dramatically change how PvP plays. It's like, I saw this, I think it was on Forbes. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why are you fixing all these things that were not a problem?
Yep.
Fix the stuff that were problems.
We were talking about, like, PvP, and it's like, what would you have liked to fix from Destiny 1's PvP? And Fran's not here. I mean, he joked, like, oh, I don't want to get sniped in the face. It's like, sticky grenades was pretty much the only thing that universally everybody was like, and you even, Sean, were like, well, don't fix the damage.
Yeah, don't fix the damage.
Fix the tracking. Of it,
yeah.
like and
that
how
doesn't
it
make
hits.
It doesn't make sense why they would.
So even look at, like, you know, again, I've been following a lot of people on Reddit and looking at, you know, PvP players, and they're going like, you know, this game is not for me, and Lumi is a big guy in the PvP world.
Like
he's saying, you know, this game is clearly just not built for me. Hurtful. Like, that's depressing.
Dude, it's
like,
true, man.
Like, he's such a good player. And when
I
you
have
saw
more...
that, when you saw that play at Guardian Con, like, I was there when he did that. He literally was, like, defending point A, and he was shade-stepping around, avoiding people, and, like, he literally got his super back in about a minute something.
Saw that.
Yeah, and it was literally one of the best plays of all time. That is not possible anymore in PvP, and the excitement's gone.
Yep.
Why is the excitement gone?
So here's the trade-off, Bungie. You don't want to make a game for us. We're going to leave.
That hurts. Like, because I love the game. I really do love, like, what Destiny fundamentally is. But again, with PvP... yeah, I'm having a hard time wanting to play it because it is not as fun as the,
like,
original.
You're talking to a guy who has played Counter-Strike since 1999. Like, the same game. Yeah. Counter-Strike gameplay hasn't changed.
Ever. Yeah.
It is the great white shark of video games. So, all you have to do in order to entice a player like me is make the gameplay really, really good. And to Bungie's credit, it does feel really, really great
tactile
to run and jump
feel.
And shoot.
Yes.
The weapons feel good. Like, the movement, the abilities, all that feels good. So double down on that. Balance it for hardcore players, for competitive players, and I guarantee you, you will have the glue to make a hardcore player base stay. But if you don't want to make the systems that make the hardcore base stay, you have to know that eventually they're going to fall off, and then you're going to be making a game for the casual market. And guess what? Making a game for the casual market and then accumulating them and then making a sequel and getting that same audience to come back is way harder the second time around.
Yeah.
Ever heard of the Wii U? It tried to do that and it did not work.
Yeah.
So I think if they know that that's what they're going to do, then sure, man. Like, if that's their business strategy, go all in. I don't really care.
And you said this earlier, and I agree with it, that I think right now, and I remember saying this earlier on a previous episode of Fireteam Chat, is what they need right now more than anything is a competitor. If for no other reason than to kick their butt into gear and to give them, it's like the preacher in Serenity or Firefly. I don't care what you believe, but believe in something. Like, choose something. Choose PvP and give it dedicated
Serenity.
Servers. Choose raids and give us better RPG progression. Choose the Infinite Forest and actually make it an interesting play space. Do something to impress me. Just stop giving me mediocre, bare minimum. Everywhere I go, boring. It's mediocre, which is unfortunate.
The raids are, I mean, we haven't played the raid yet, so
the raid layer.
Yeah, but it, like, at this point, like, what are you really expecting? Like, so, so that's my thing.
But so even if it's
the
great,
door opens,
why?
You just get
why? Okay. So I play that, that kind of content goes hand in hand with progression.
Yes.
I don't understand. Can somebody explain to me why I want different armor?
Yeah.
Anybody, comments, tell me why do I want to.
Why do you want it? Other than that, you like
armor,
to collect.
I'm not trying to brag. I could have any armor.
Pretty.
As long as I have the right stat allocation, I have 3, 6, 8. That's a great, that's a great loadout that I like rolling with.
Five, six, five.
Zero reason, unless it's exotic, zero reason to not just infuse it into the armor I have. I can get any armor and infuse it.
Yeah.
So I don't, when you can't explain to me why I want an item in your new set, and also, by the way, like I'm getting legendary engrams and getting items from the old set, it's so convoluted and it makes zero sense to me. It doesn't give me incentive to continue playing. It doesn't give me incentive to go to your raid content. And when I do go to your raid content, what am I really getting? I'm getting a chance at a random drop. You know, it took me forever to get Sins of the Past. And like, pick something, go with it, do your homework, figure it out. You figured it out for the first game. I, as a PC player, this is a really cool experience. I love the RPG aspect, and I love the shooting aspect, and I love that the moment-to-moment gameplay is not boring in this kind of game the way it is in something like EVE Online. So I love that, but
I have
no reason.
Is that what we're
comparing it to now? I'm just comparing it to like a community-driven, I can jump onto my friends, and we can kind of progress because that's what Destiny is, and I can be more powerful when I log off tomorrow than I am tonight, and it's a communal thing that is driving this community forward, but it needs to learn some fundamental lessons. And actually, Curse of Osiris, more than anything else, shows me that these lessons have not been learned, or it is regressed for reasons that I can't explain, and it's very disappointing.
So just final point here, we need to wrap it up. The only thing I want to say is that I feel, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, I feel like Destiny is in a dire state right now where there is no, it's the first time I don't want to play the game.
Yeah.
I don't have any incentive to play. Raid layers are coming out tomorrow. I'm going to play them once, and then what?
Yeah.
It's like, why would I come back to the game? I can't. There's nothing for me. There's nothing
for me. Yeah, I mean,
all throughout
Destiny 1, we did this show, and it was sometimes very difficult to come to the show and be like, what are we going to talk about? Mm-hmm. But we were all still playing because the gameplay and the PvP was good, so there was reasons to play. Now we're looking down another month or two. When's the next DLC supposed to come out?
Like, probably next year, March.
Yeah, like three, 4 months away from now, potentially. Like,
well, that's just quality of life stuff.
Yeah, like,
no, that's addressing some of the stuff, like Masterworks, being able to get specific items we got in the game. But I think at the end of the day, like, you have fundamental problems with your RPG.
Yeah, is that 3 months of content? Like, I don't see it. Yeah. I'm on your side. It's like, I'm looking down the roadmap and being like, how are we ever going to get there without me, like, taking a massive break from the game? And truth be told, like, I still jump on Halo more than I jump on Destiny right now. And Destiny came out a month ago. I don't know. I mean, my final thought is like, Destiny, and I tweeted it out earlier. Thanks for pointing it out. Destiny 2 needs a competitor now more than ever. Yeah. Like, maybe it's Anthem. Maybe it's Fortnite. Who knows what it is? Maybe it's Halo 5. Like, I genuinely think that, I don't know. I feel bad saying it because I know that this isn't the case. Everyone at Bungie I know works really, really hard. Yeah. But they need someone to light a fire under their to make them improve.
Fine. You can make your point without swearing.
I'm like, a swear word?
Yes.
And you just did it.
Twice.
Anyway.
I guess
can we leave on a final note? Just the last thing that I have to say is I did a really, really cool interview, which should be live soon. I don't know. Glenn Schofield, a former co-founder of Sledgehammer Games. Co-founder of Sledgehammer Games, formerly at Visceral, created Dead Space, really visionary guy. I was interviewing him about Call of Duty World War II, and we had the most interesting thing that came out of that interview, in my opinion. There's some really awesome stuff in this expert mode, but for me, as like a design junkie, the most interesting thing was we stopped talking, and we were talking about the monumental bar you have to hit with AAA just to get in the door.
2017.
The visuals, the fidelity, everything that goes into just making the core experience before even making it interesting, that is what I think we're seeing with Destiny. This is something that Bungie has to deal with, that somebody sitting in their basement making the next Minecraft does not. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And they're going to make something truly inspirational and interesting. This week it happens to be Getting Over It, which is a really weird game. You'll know about it next week. It's super crazy. But that is the direction that gaming is going, is understanding what your experience is and is it valuable. And I can tell you right now that Destiny has a very valuable core experience.
Sure.
And the core experience for me is strikes and raids. It's this group PvE content in a shooter capacity with PvP on the side. That's great. And I think they really need to focus in on that content and make me want to play it. And move forward, and I guarantee you, I can't get that experience anywhere else right now in gaming. I will play it. Yep. So just, that's my advice. Move forward with that.
CJ?
Last thing, really quick. Marty Sliva said a comment once. He's like, you know, regardless of how good a game is or bad a game is, to call the developers lazy is, he just said, like, I can't do it. And I will say that about Bungie. Like, I don't think anybody's lazy. And we think about when we do, it's like, most often than not, when things are going well is when people are least lazy. Mm-hmm. You're working really hard to fix something. The problem is, the perception is that it is. That's a challenge for Bungie. Like, they got to figure it out. And then, I just want a sniper. I just want a sniper in PvP. That's all. Like a sniper and a fusion rifle. I want to destroy the people who are hitting me in the face with Mida. Give me a sniper.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, bring some of that gameplay back.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. Sorry that this was a bit of a downer episode. I think the community is just kind of feeling really let down by Christopher Osiris right now. We'll see if that changes next week. Thank you so much for joining us today. And until next time, Guardians out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.